Hello, I'm Ruth Morton, an IT Pro Advisor at Microsoft Canada. Welcome to the IT Manager Podcast, a monthly audio information series designed to provide a fresh perspective on the latest IT trends, as well as insight on how you can leverage technology to further drive business value. I invite you to visit microsoft.ca/IT Podcast for supplementary resources, case studies, and other podcast episodes. When we think of high-performance computers, we often think of supercomputers, gigantic machines like the IBM NORC, or Naval Ordnance Research Calculator, the world's first supercomputer. This field of technology has been evolving rapidly, assisted by Moore's Law and the related drops in hardware and software prices. Today, many of us know that high-performance computing clusters are used in academic settings, research facilities, and specialized industries. However, high-performance computing cluster technology has advanced so far that it is now quite accessible to any business wishing to create a small or large cluster that can help it analyze data very quickly, helping generate invaluable business information that can help companies gain a significant competitive advantage. To discuss this, I'm joined by Glenn Bonjay, who is the Business Development Manager for High-Performance Computing at HP Canada. I'm also joined by Nick Garcusha, who is a Platform Strategy Manager at Microsoft Canada. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hi, Ruth.
Glenn, you heard me mention the IBM NORC. High Performance Computing, or HPC, has been in the past a technology we associated with incredibly powerful but also incredibly expensive systems. Are we really now at a stage where this technology is truly accessible to the average business organization?
Absolutely, Ruth. This is one of the things that's most exciting about this kind of technology. In the past, when we thought about high-performance computing, we thought about giant monolithic supercomputers, water-cooled or freon-cooled, sometimes room-sized. Traditionally, yeah, it's been the case, and this kind of technology has really only been accessible to government labs and elite research organizations, maybe the largest pharmaceutical or automotive companies. Very specialized projects, often top-secret types of things. Today, though, high-performance computing is not the domain of these monolithic supercomputers. We're now talking about clusters of multi-core processors that are just standard-based with standard-based interconnects and ubiquitous architectures like the 64-bit x86 architectures.
Yes, this combination of increased processor performance per compute node and low acquisition price per node, all of those bring down the cost of high-performance computing. So essentially, now high-performance computing is much more accessible, so not only large enterprises, but truly any business can access this technology.
Nick, can you give me an idea of the kind of price drops we're talking about here?
There's actually a good illustration to talk about price comparisons. So let's take a system, a 10 gigaflop system. Back in 1991, this would be a system like a Cray YMP. Its cost was close to $40 million. So think about who could afford that kind of a system. Only a few organizations, such as a government, for example. Just a few years later, by 1998, a comparable system, still 10 gigaflops, such as a Sun 10K, was 40 times less expensive at $1 million. Basically, at this price point, large enterprises could afford to leverage HPC, and it was used, but still not within reach of most other organizations. Just another 7 years later, by 2005, you could actually buy a 10 gigaflop system online by going to Shuttle from Newegg.com and buy it for just $4,000. So altogether, since 1991 to 2005, that's a 250-time price drop. And this really today is bringing HPC within reach of most engineers, scientists, and business users.
That's a remarkable price drop. Now, Glenn, I'm sure some of our listeners are wondering if they can turn servers that they have previously purchased into high-performance compute clusters. Is this possible?
Yeah, a lot of people are wondering this these days. And certainly one of the things that is attractive is if you have older hardware, one of the things you have to ask right off the bat is whether it's 32-bit or 64-bit. Many of the applications that you're going to be running in this kind of cluster are going to be looking for 64-bit, and certainly Windows Compute Cluster Server 2003 requires 64-bit hardware. The reality is that most organizations don't have surplus computers lying around. So again, this is one of the places where the price of technology and, as mentioned, the decline in price that we've seen has been made it very attractive. Our HP ProLiant server technology, especially in blade-type architectures, is really well suited to running compute cluster server and is very well priced, so a lot of people are looking to get in from there.
We're talking here about the crossover, really, of high-performance computing into mainstream business use. What kind of businesses can benefit from this technology?
Well, truly any business that needs to process a lot of information and do it fast, any business stands to really benefit from use of high-performance computing. Typically, HPC is used for modeling outcomes. For example, in finance, risk modeling, and that typically takes a lot of compute cycles, but also in other areas such as manufacturing for supply chain modeling, job scheduling, and of course, things like product design. So imagine yourself a car manufacturer that models the flow of air around a vehicle, and then they can see how a change in a vehicle part affects the drag, lift, and other parameters that make the car either go faster or save fuel. So it's really very powerful technology. However, these type of computation take hours, sometimes days, and really could add up to months. So today's markets really demand this accelerated innovation cycle. So if your new product is going to succeed, you have to be first to market. And many businesses face competition, both local and globally. So the pressure to be there first to do these type of computations on time is very, very significant. Because there's also, at the same time, a focus on cost reduction and thorough outcome modeling, companies need to be out of the gate with proof points to back up plans and designs. So this is really where high-performance computing can make a huge difference to a business. It can give the computational results much quicker than is possible with a standalone computer, really provides the businesses with a chance to introduce these tested and documented products a lot faster to market.
Glenn, can you give us some examples of industries that are well suited for high-performance computing?
Sure. First one that comes right to mind as a Calgarian is the energy sector. Oil and gas exploration is seeing a significant boom in Canada right now. And although prices for oil and gas are rising, the costs of finding and producing are continuing to climb as well as we get out of conventional, easily exploited terrain. So despite improved revenue potential, energy organizations are under a lot of pressure to bring down expenses. One way to do this is in the exploration prep phase, where high-performance computing clusters can analyze geological and geophysical data to pinpoint where the company should drill. Further to Nick's point, one of the things that happened with the advent of the spreadsheet, what became Excel, was the ability to test out different scenarios very quickly, to do what-ifing on a simple arithmetic model. With compute clusters, we're putting tools like CCS, we're actually putting what-if capability directly into the hands of researchers, scientists, and engineers so that they can not just take a best shot at where the oil is or how the car should be shaped, but try different scenarios over and over again.
Yeah, and to Glenn's point, HPC becomes really powerful when you could integrate the power of high-performance computing really directly right into the application. For example, in the oil and gas scenario, you can, for example, do those if-then scenarios to calculate whether you could expect to extract oil or gas from a particular location for a certain period of time, or to see when this cost of extraction will start to rise, and really giving the company a clear idea when the cost of extraction will outweigh the revenue that this extraction generates. Really, it's being able to get access to these results as fast as possible, but also in a way that is graphical and visual, which is very, very important. Visualization is a big aspect to high-performance computing in many applications, because that makes it easy for end users to see, understand, and analyze.
Yeah, that's right. And best of all, with today's HPC technology, you don't need a building to house the thing. We've got useful compute clusters that can fit under a desk. Results can be had in minutes or hours, depending on the size of the computational task.
In addition to car manufacturing, which Nick mentioned, are there other examples, Glenn, of industries that are well suited for high-performance computing?
Well, absolutely. Financial services is another industry that we focus on, and we know that they can benefit tremendously from HPC. So, for example, FinServ companies in the capital markets, they can analyze real-time financial risk, things like compliance or algorithmic trading or even fraud detection. The reality is that today, even the most powerful standalone computers will have real challenges in processing the volumes of information that goes through. You know, think about stock trading and the millions and millions of transactions per second that happen. As a result, today, the reality is that only a small percentage of any organization's data is subject to appropriate analysis. With HPC, that type of analysis is a lot more accessible in real time. So basically today, with high-performance computing, companies in FinServ, but pretty much in any other industries, can really cost-effectively analyze complex data sets to make better decisions. Another benefit is the fact that Microsoft Compute Cluster Server software makes it very easy to integrate with mainstream applications. And Glenn had already mentioned integration with spreadsheets, Microsoft Office Excel, and Excel services as an example.
That's right. That means that any user familiar with those desktop products can use the back-end cluster solution. Also, it means that you can prototype on a client, even on a laptop while you're sitting on a plane, and then when you get back to the office, can do production deployment connected to the server cluster computers. Built-in support for web services also allows computational finance results to be included in, used by all kinds of industry processes, including business workflows.
Is there a particular reason why now is a good time for IT managers to investigate high-performance computing or HPC technology?
In a nutshell, because it doesn't make sense and could impact your business by not doing so. Price of the technology is very accessible, the competitive advantages are very significant, and if you're in an industry where design, modeling, or analysis of lots of data is a critical part of what you do, it's an extremely good idea to evaluate whether HPC clustering is something your organization could benefit from.
Yes, and also in addition to price, high-performance computing today has really become intuitive to use. So you no longer need these high priests, so to speak, these supercomputer gods that manage these labs that nobody has access to. Pretty much any user at this point could have access to HPC clusters. For example, independent software vendors, ISVs, are taking advantage of HPC and start writing applications that are parallelized, which means they specifically work with these clusters and can use them as a resource and allow end users, engineers, scientists, or business users to work with this as a resource. So when I talk about a resource, I mean, you know, think about how we use printers and copiers today. We simply click print and there goes our job, right? Our print job. So here, sending a task to a high-performance compute cluster is just as easy and should be as easy as just hitting print. It's very simple. The other driver is also driven by user demand for systems that are not these isolated islands of computing power. Today's technology is built to integrate with your existing business systems, and this includes compute clusters. What this really means is that you can leverage investment that you've already made into your existing IT infrastructure, such as Active Directory, for example, for user authentication and sign-on, and you can really start deriving value from HPC clusters today. Best of all, this is all integrated into your existing technologies and processes.
Yeah, Nick, I think integration is a really important point. Fact is that the compute cluster resources that businesses can deploy today are identical to the servers that they're using for exchange and database functions and so forth. In some cases, the only difference would be the inclusion of a different sort of high-speed interconnect, which some applications would require. But the point is that by using the same storage interconnect, the unified management environments that have been developed to make it easier to manage x86 servers for the rest of the corporate environment are applicable now. So that really goes back to your notion about high priests, where a few years ago you really needed a high priest type resource to care and feed for the computing resource. Nowadays, the IT manager can use the same tools like our Insight Manager for taking care of the compute cluster that they would to manage exchange servers elsewhere in the business.
Glenn, are there any challenges that you think IT managers should consider before deciding to implement a high-performance computing cluster?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of organizations really misjudge the amount of electrical power this type of solution can require, and particularly to misjudge the amount of cooling that this solution requires. Today's clusters really require just a fraction of the power and cooling that a classic supercomputer might have needed. It still can be substantial. In today's compute cluster environments, we often look at blade solutions where we have 64 nodes to a rack. Each node has two processors. Each processor has four cores. So we're talking about 500 compute cores all in a single rack. Add four of those racks to your computing room all at once. You can have a really big impact on power and air conditioning needs.
We're almost out of time here, but from your perspective, what is the most important thing you want IT managers to remember about high-performance computing?
I'd like to say that IT managers and IT professionals overall are always looking for new ways to leverage technology to help their business. Today, high-performance computing has changed so much that really compared to the past when we looked at these room-sized supercomputers, today it's a lot more accessible. IT managers really should take a look at this technology because truly HPC today has gone mainstream.
To Nick's point, I really feel like IT managers are looking for ways to add business value to be able to contribute to the bottom line of the organization. And a very effective way to do that is to make the organization more capable of analyzing and understanding the data that they have inside the organization. It's not the same technology we used to talk about in the context of things like mapping the human genome. It's now accessible, affordable, easy to use. If you're a small credit union, a major car manufacturer, or anything in between, there's a lot of business benefit that you can gain with the implementation of high-performance computing tools.
This has been great. Thanks so much, Glenn and Nick, for taking the time to share your experience and your knowledge with us today. That concludes this episode of the IT Manager Podcast. We hope what you've heard today inspires you to look at the opportunities high-performance computing can open to your business. Let us know what you thought of this episode by posting a comment at microsoft.ca/ITpodcast, where you'll also find supplementary resources and other podcast episodes. Join us again next month for an in-depth look into the importance of the user experience when building the next generation of software. Thanks for listening.